jump right back pretty close to where we was at last week. If you will, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to try to get a little smarter. Not facts, but wisdom. I'll get everything organized here just in a minute, and we'll take off. In Proverbs chapter 1, we talked about this last week. We ended up in Job chapter 28. Fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We've read those words. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And I keep emphasizing every time I read this, it tells you right in the front of the book why it's written. I mean, it's, and he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. You see, there's something that comes along with wisdom, and a whole lot that comes along with knowledge. We all know people who get some facts and go crazy with it, right? I've been there and done that too. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. That's what the Word of God is written for. This is just as clear in Proverbs as God talking to the children of God as it is to Solomon's telling him what his dad said to him and what he's saying to his son. Just as clear as day. And there's in contrast in Proverbs, in contrast to wisdom and the father and the son, is also just as clear in contrast to that is the woman, the whore, the adulteress. Look at all that right after you get this, you go into that, and that woman, that whore, that adulteress, and he's warning against her. And like I said last week, this in Job is, and we looked at the parable, Job, where it said 27, chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to 30, and Job continued his parable. And when we see something like this in the Bible, the Father, the Son, you can clearly see the Holy Spirit talking. And we'll look at some of that as we go through here today. In 1 Kings chapter 3, 9 through 12, I want you to turn there. This is what, I don't know, it's just, I think it's lacking in all of us, and it's lacking totally in America. As we read last week, and we looked at some of the things that God, we looked in Job, where Job said, and God said this through, out from Job, God has blinded the eyes of the judges. And if not him, then who? And we look at this, what Solomon asked for. And James says, if we have not because we ask, you know, when we ask amiss, we might consume it on our own lust. And when I was thinking about that this morning, I thought, how true that is. How most of my prayers are asking for something. I try to get away from that, but just as sure as you got problems in your family or got problems, we're supposed to pray about these things. But as I've told in this class many times, I'll hear something many years ago And it don't leave my mind. But Martha Franks, a missionary to China, give a testimony of being, and I've told this in this class many times, and I'm sorry if you think I'm just repeating over, but I'm going to tell it again. But Martha Franks said when she was a young missionary and went to China, knowing she wanted to serve God, scared to death. And said she went, and this was all underground. This wasn't a church on the open street like we're worshiping today. And said she got down and started praying and saying, God, help me do this, help me do this, do this, do that. And said, some old Chinese woman tapped her on the shoulder and said, no. But praise God. Thank God. And said she never got over that. How that she started thanking God in her, what she considered a diversity, the problems she was facing and what she was in. Because God knew that situation. Now, in Proverbs here, we see written, thus to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Then we see here where Solomon asked for, said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. God was pleased with that. I think we miss so much of that, don't we? All right, let's Proverbs 1, verse 20. Talking about where wisdom cries. So wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, What I'm looking at here is not knowledge of facts as we know facts in an educational system, but knowledge that comes from wisdom. And let's look at, let me just set the pace before I go to those scriptures. Look at Proverbs 4, 5 through 8. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. If that ain't God speaking to us, what is it? Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. What'll keep you? Words. What words? Written words. We'll see this as we go through. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. All right. Now, in Luke 11:49, I want you to turn there. See how Christ identifies with this wisdom. Verse 48. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchers. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will descend them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Who's speaking? The word of God. What is the wisdom of God? The word of God. What is the word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Christ. The Word was in the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As I've said many times, and a lot of people, even in this class, have been offended at that, because I compare the Word of God to Christ. I know just as well as anybody that this is pulpwood. But I know where the Word of God comes from, straight from the mouth of God. Right? And you better honor that Word, because it's that Word that will judge you. Now, who's going to sit in judgment? Even the Christian, Christ. Jesus said the same things. So Christ identifies with the wisdom of God. Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. I hope it's been what I'm trying to do here. We're to get wisdom. We're to get understanding. We're to get these things. And there's a price to pay for it. In Proverbs, it says, if we'd seek it with tears, if we'd seek it as hidden treasure. It takes prayer. It takes reading God's Word. We all have the same opportunity. There's not a person in here that doesn't have the same opportunities. But I catch myself in the failure mode. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. When he said get understanding, then he says lean not to your own understanding. You see the picture? I had you go to 1 Corinthians and didn't go myself, right? Here we go. We're having just a second here. And I can't go through this without, when I go to Corinthians after teaching Acts and studying Acts like I did, I can't go there without talking about Acts 17. Can't. When I saw the travel of Paul and how he went to Athens and didn't get a church built, why? Man, that was there's where a lot of our systems come right out of that we have today, right out of there. The first open air voting. And don't get offended at me here, but I'm gonna say some things. Man is not going to straighten himself out without godly men doing the job. There in Athens, they had open-air voting. But you know, you go back, and I read a little bit more about that. In Greece, you know what they found out? They couldn't do that because the people would vote them the money out of the treasury, and there wouldn't be none. Now go, if you don't believe me, go read it and find it out. Is that not where we're at? Yeah. We're not yet letting the people vote the money out of the treasury, but the people are voting the people in who are voting the money out of the treasury, and we don't have any to run the government. You say that don't have a thing to do with this lesson. No, yes, it does. Yes, it does. In Athens, they were a democracy like, but they could care less for God. Go read Acts chapter 17, and then look at the beginning of chapter 18. I'm not going to read. I've done it too many times, and I get sometimes a little leery of myself going back to so many different times, but when it fits into the lesson you're in, I've got to do it. But at the end of Acts 17, and in chapter 17, Paul shows you that he is very intelligent. He makes a good statement and shows how he is, but he put no stock in that. Okay? Now look at 18. Verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Now look how, when he came to Corinth, what he had to say. Look at 1:19. For it is written. You see where wisdom comes from? For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? I can see him speaking to a group of Christians and I look around you. Where's the professors? Where is the scribe? Where's the writer? Where is the disputer of this world? Where's your lawyer? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, we're talking about the wisdom of God, and that wisdom of God can be given to a simple man. I told a guy yesterday, and I'm talking, there's politicians everywhere, and I said, let me just make a statement. If we're so strapped in our county that we have to lay off 70 people, 76, why are we spending $9 million already wasted a bunch on Prince? Why are we doing those things if we're so strapped? That doesn't make sense, folks, and that's what I'm talking about, okay? Wisdom to discern judgment and equity. What is equity? What's equal? Like a parable. A parable is something that's laid parallel. Something's laid line by line with something to give this other thing understanding. That's what a parable is. Where is the wisdom of this world? Look at this. Let's just take this to heart as we read it. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Common sense? Can you not look at some situations and say, man, if I run my household like that, where would I be? Huh? If I wrote checks when I didn't have money, where would I be? For after that, in the wisdom of God, now you see what wisdom we're talking about, folks. I'm getting a little off track a couple of times. That's okay, I think. But you see what we're talking about is the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ. The Word of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, by the worldly wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. Now, where were we at? In Athens and Greece. And he said, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, now this is 24 and 30 is the verse I want you to really watch. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
1 Corinthians, chapter 1.
I must admit to something. I'm like,
okay. I might have confused you and not told you where I was going back to. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Now, they're all called, but what he's meaning, they're not responding. Okay? Because what did we just read about wisdom? Wisdom crieth in the streets, in the concourse, in the gates. God's calling out all over these places, in these places, for men to respond. But he's too smart for it. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You see that? When God gets through doing it, I can't say I did it. Because I know I didn't. And he makes it that simple. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now watch this. 24 and 30 is the verse you should really pay attention to. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of God are you in Christ Jesus. That mystery of all mysteries. Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I read this morning, I thought of those mysteries. My goodness, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. And we got a verse that will put us to that in just a minute. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All right, now who is wisdom? How do we get wisdom? Is that not what we've been talking about for weeks? Job 28, where then can wisdom be found? In the Word of God. Christ identifies with wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. You get just as book smart as you want to get, and you're going to be just as dumb as a box of rocks without God. Why? Because you can't discern. Wisdom is personified as a woman. She stands in contrast. Babylon, you see the woman comes into play in Proverbs. You start off with the wisdom of God, get wisdom. But what are you going to run into? That Babylonian system. What did the preacher preach about Wednesday night? That Babylonian system. And she's a woman. And she's a whore. She's not the true bride. If she's not the true bride, she's a whore. And when you go to Matthew 13, when they want to make leaven the only place in the Bible that these scholars want to make leaven, the gospel, is in Matthew 13, when she's blended in a little leaven. Right? And who did it? A woman. As I said a couple of weeks ago, in Proverbs, the twins in Proverbs, mercy and truth. It seems that independent fundamentalists have got the truth and no mercy. And the liberal has mercy and no truth. They're twins. There's a balance between them. Mercy and truth. Get wisdom. Bible says, get wisdom. Forsake it not. Buy it and don't sell it. How do you buy something like that? You pay a price for it. You give yourself. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. I tell you, this book is an amazing book. Sometimes I just step back and I say, well, how did we get where we're at? How? This book so clearly teaches, and I could run through it and give you the scriptures, about a lazy man in Proverbs. What did it say about him? Or the man that don't work? What did it say? Somebody tell me.
Don't eat.
Don't eat. What else did it say? It said he'd come to poverty. You ain't going to get around those books of wisdom in this Bible. If America wants some wisdom, they could read, if a leader wanted some wisdom, he could read Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and read it and read it, and act on what it says in Proverbs. My goodness, he could straighten out a lot if he had to, you know. There's too many people fighting it. That don't stop God from crying out to seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. What is God saying? Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Hear the words of wisdom. But he said, bow your ear. You know what you're doing there? You're leaning it forward like an old chicken or rooster will do, you know, when he's wanting to look at you. You're bowing it, but you're bowing it. I thought about that this week as I studied this. Bow your ear. When you bow in the Bible, what are you doing? Humbling. Bow your ear. Humble your ear to wisdom. He said the words of God. Bow down thine ear and hear. I used two places in the Bible one time with a person who told me, he said, well, you worship the Word of God. And I said, well, there's some other people in the Bible that did. I'm not alone. David said, I will lift my hands to thy precepts. Psalm 119. And I think it's in Psalm 59, he said something similar again. I will praise thy word. If I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to praise something, and I'm praising the word of God, the precepts of God and the word of God, God's not hurt by that. Not according to the way I read the Bible. If we're trusting anything, I forget. I was thinking in my truck this morning, trying to run some references and things I know. I knew it and couldn't even find it. I forget these things. I forget where things is at. Things I used to know. Do you? I set out one time to memorize what Jesus said in John. And I just about got all the way through it. But I couldn't do it now for nothing. It's gone. But you know what? That word of God is everlasting. I can forget it, but it don't go away. It's still there just as plain as day. And when I read it, do find it again, it's a blessing as it was the first time. Why? Because it's eternal. Can anybody show me anywhere in the Word of God that the Word of God is not eternal? What does that mean? If I say the Word of God is eternal, what does that mean? It has life. For it to be eternal, it has to have life. John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they're truth. Right? Psalms 22:17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. See the two knowledges? For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. God's saying, if you'll keep his word, he's saying, keep it within thee, and it'll be fitted to your lips. And why? Is in verse 19. Why? That thy trust may be in the Lord. Paul, if I want to know him, how am I going to get to know God? Going out here in the field and worshiping nature, yeah, it shows God. It declares the glory of God. But God communicates to man through his word. He communicates with man through his word. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted to thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. You see how personal it is? The word of God is personal. Every one of us has the same opportunities. The word of God is personal. That God will communicate to you. Have not I what? Say that word. Have not I written? The word of God is written. Job said in chapter 31, I think it's 31. Oh, that someone had written those words. Well, Job, God had somebody down there to pin them down. Elihu. And he wrote them. God has written. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. You ever had anybody send unto you? You ever had anybody ask you? Call you? I've said that to people many times. And it's happened a couple times. I've told a guy, I said, well, you know, they don't want nothing to do with God right now. And I'm not being harsh when I say some things that I'm saying, but when you work where I work with construction workers who's standing there and, you know, they look like they could wrestle the biggest bear in the Smokies. I mean, they're tough. They're strong. But you see, they're mighty. Not many mighty. I said, but when you don't have anything that a case of sickness won't take care of. I said it a little more harsh than that to them. You don't have anything that won't take care of. Why? Because everything's good now. Got muscles like a horse's leg, but it don't matter. I'd say, call me. If you need help, call me. Had a guy call me one night and say, thank you for being my friend, telling me about the Lord. said, I got saved a while ago. He said, thank you for that. He said, you never know, you'll never know how much that meant to me. You know where he was at? In the Baptist with a brain tumor. Hey. He said that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. You see that? The certainty. How? When you see what's going on in Israel right now, what do you think about? What's the first thing? Come on, somebody talk back to me. What is the thing? First thing you think about right now? Prophecy, isn't it? What God said was going to happen. The church is going to be out of here. And they're fleeing to the mountains. He said that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Who did old Pharaoh want around when the problems come? Moses, wasn't it? So go get him. Tell your God to stop this mess. Moses probably says, I'm mad and live here. I can't do that. You done made him mad. What can I do? Let my people go. There's just so much, folks. Why? All right, I'm going to go over this in 22. We'll talk about it a little bit next week real quickly, and we'll get out of here. In verse 22, and the first thing, in 20, the words are written. I want you to mark this in your Bible, if you will, or think about or somewhere, or just remember it, this place. They're written words. He said, I want to make you know for a certainty. That's why God wrote his word down. That's why he preserved it. And it's certain. Two, it's the words of truth, verse 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. They are true. And why? In verse 19, to get a man to trust in the Lord, that thy trust may be in the Lord. Why did it say over there in verse, these things that I've written that you may know? Didn't John say that? So they're written to get a man to trust in the Lord, to make known by the Lord himself. That's in verse 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord. So it's to make known the Lord. They're delivered personally, and the heart must hear them. Verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. He's not asking you to figure it out, is he? Did he ask us to fit anywhere in that statement to figure it out? He said, you bow your ear to the word and to my knowledge. I don't have to be smart enough to know all that. Just believe it. He must hear them. And they're the words of the wise in verse 17. And in verse 20, they're excellent things. And in verse 20, they're counsels. In verse 20, they're knowledge. In verse 21, they're words of truth. And the verse 21, they're words of truth that is certain. And you know what it is, folks? I want you to listen to this carefully. They're words, not teachings. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. They're not teachings. What that does is takes the power out of the word. They're words of God. Not to be messed with. Not to be better renderings. And all that kind of stuff. There are certain words that are given by God. There are written words. Proverbs 8, they're words that are easy to understand. When I say that, people look at me and say, oh, I just don't understand my Bible like that. No, you just don't believe it. I don't have a problem understanding the Word of God. It's just as clear as it can be in Revelation. I just have a problem believing that it's whatever He said it was that come up and done whatever He said it did. I'll try, and I do this a lot. And I think it may have some application sometime. I may apply it to a jet and say, well, old John never seen anything like that. Well, I can do all that I want to. But you know what that's showing? I don't believe what it's saying. They're easy to understand. And by them, it says in Proverbs 8, he said they're not twisted words. But they're easy words to understand, and said, by them is my servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. If God said they're easy to understand, who did he say it to? To the one who gets understanding and gets wisdom. So we can get the wisdom of God and still be lacking understanding. When we got Christ, we got the wisdom of God. For he has made unto us wisdom and knowledge and sanctification and redemption. That's why he could say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He wasn't saying, get in here and earn it with your works. He's saying, get it out. Get it out of you. It's there. Because he's in your heart. Lord, thank you for this day you've given.